you sing that song before? Have you sung it before? You have? Wow, how many of y'all have heard him sing that song before? Thank God for that wonderful song. Just Jesus only will never fail. Offered applause. Come on, thank God. Woo! That is amazing. That is amazing. Now then, there were papers that were passed out that have a map on them, and we're going to be looking at that map here in a few seconds. So you need to find that. I don't know if you're aware of, I myself am only partially aware, and I'm trying to make you all aware, and so it's difficult to do that, to have some awareness of the Scripture. It's difficult to do that, to have some awareness of the prophecies. It's difficult to do that, even looking at the current events in the world today and seeing the hand of God at work. We must never fail to believe that God is able to work all things together for good. And in spite of what we're hearing, in spite of what we're going to see, that's exactly what he's going to do. Amen? All right, so we want to look on this map. And you want to see, and you don't see Israel singled out on that. I had somebody already come to me and say, where is Israel on this map? Do you see an arrow or anything that points and says Israel? Wow. I want you to know that the problems in the world today are all about Israel, all about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we want to start on here, and we want to look at the nations that go up, make a ring around Israel. And we want to be aware of those nations. I've done this with you before. First of all of y'all can see Iran on here. That is one of the nations that is around Israel. I want y'all, if you have a pen or a pencil or anything like that, I want you all to draw this circle so that you'll see what is in the bullseye of the circle here as we do this. So from Iran, let me make sure I have all of my places that we're going to be at here. Not sure I'm going to be in Acts. Yeah, I probably will be. I ought to save that on a different place. There we go. And from Iran, there is a nation that is not named on here besides Israel. Iran is here, and immediately to the left and upper portion is this nation. You see a little star here on this nation. That is Turkey. You'll notice that Iran and Turkey have a common border. So that's part of the circle that you're going to draw here. As you draw it from Iran to Turkey, where that little star is right there, you're drawing a circle. A circle, and it's going to be something like this. Some of y'all are getting your glasses out so you can see me. That's a good thing. It's a circle, and it's going to be something like this. The next portion of the circle is across the Mediterranean Sea. And the Mediterranean Sea is this little blank white space right here. And we're going to come down from Turkey to the far side of Egypt. To the far side of Egypt. This is Libya. This little sliver of thing that we can possibly see here. This is Libya. So you're going to start at Iran, go through Turkey, and down through this little sliver over on the far left-hand side of Egypt. Then you're going to continue the circle down, and you're going to not going to come through Egypt. You're going to come around Egypt and through an area also not named here. This is the Sudan. The Sudan. And you're going to bring that circle through here. And there are two dark areas just to the right of the Sudan. And Eritrea is one of them, and Ethiopia is the less dark area, and you're going to bring the circle through that part right there. Then the circle is going to continue on back up through Yemen and Oman and back to Iran again. Has everyone got that circle drawn? Start here in Iran, go to Turkey, down to Libya, this little sliver on this side, underneath Egypt to this blank area, which is called Sudan. Then there are two dark areas here. One, that there's a dark area, and then the less dark. The less dark is Ethiopia. You're going to come up through Ethiopia to Yemen, and then Oman, and back to Iran. It's not a perfect circle. It might be like an ostrich egg or something, but it is an encircling. Does anybody else need help on being able to get that done? Look around on somebody else to help you there. Because today, these nations that are in this circle line up with a scripture that we are aware of in Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. Now, this last week, there was a thing that happened between Saudi Arabia. You see, Saudi Arabia is right in the bullseye. I'm going to be getting to that in a few seconds, and then we're going to be in Psalms 2 tonight. This last week, a thing happened in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, there are some Gulf nations that they call themselves an alliance. And Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, which is almost in the center of this area, Kuwait, and then Bahrain, which is a little island nation out in the middle of the Persian Gulf, and the United Arab Emirates, which is the UAE. Do you see that? UAE. That's United Arab Emirates. And Dubai, which is another small. These are all the Gulf nations. They have formed an alliance. And up until this last week, Qatar, which you see right there in the middle, has been considered to be in an alliance with them, and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Dubai and Bahrain and Kuwait cut off all relations with them. They cut off all relations with Qatar. And Qatar is in the news. Qatar is a place where our largest air base in the Middle East is. It's from that air base that we launch a lot of our strikes, air strikes with planes against ISIS between Syria and Iraq. That's where we launch a lot of the plane strikes. Now, we don't really have a problem if something happens with Qatar there, and we're still being able to use the airbase. We're still being able to launch attacks from that place, but we need to know that with the things that are happening there, that there is a great deal of division in the Middle East. They're kind of like they're having a problem in the Middle East an awful lot like we're having here in America today. We're in gridlock. We not have people that are really working well together in America. And this, more than our $20 trillion debt, will be what brings us down. A house divided that cannot even peaceably speak to itself will eventually or quickly totally fall apart. And the Middle East is somewhat in that situation. Not completely, but somewhat in that situation. And so we understand, as we're looking at the world, that there seems to be a type of gridlock everywhere in the world. And you'll say, how is that? Why is it happening? Well, there is a thing that is going on. The powers of darkness in high places are exerting what is left of their power. Because the Bible tells us that when Jesus was on the cross, he was destroying the works of the evil one. So that the powers of darkness were losing their ability to have control except for their ability to speak lies. And there's probably not any place in the world where more lies are being spoken right now than in our own nation. and about what the rest of the world is saying about Israel. And so we're looking at that. Now, I need to read to you a little bit about Qatar. Qatar, this is not the first time that they have had a division with their neighbors back in 2000. And let's see if I can find it here. In 2014, 3 years ago, there was another division that happened with Qatar and their neighbors around them. There was a three-year period, not a three-year, but a nine-month period where they were cut off from the other nations around them. Now, then, I do want you to realize that although we have a large military base in Qatar, and they are a very wealthy oil and gas nation, what the real problem with Qatar is, and I want to read to you that from something from the London paper, and right now it's gone from my mind which one I copied this from. And so if you want to know, you'll have to ask me later. The dispute that has seen Saudi Arabia and its Gulf state allies isolate Qatar stems from allegations that this tiny oil gas rich nation is sponsoring extremist groups destabilizing the Middle East. This is not the first time Qatar's neighbors have expressed their displeasure over its foreign policy. Diplomatic relations were severed for 9 months in 2014. Tensions have arisen from Qatar's support from the Islamist Muslim Brotherhood. Do you all know what nation has the most difficult time with the Muslim Brotherhood right now? Do you all have any idea what nation that is? Egypt. Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, its close relationship with such groups as the Taliban and Al-Qaeda affiliates, and its relationship with Iran, which has most recently led to allegations from Saudi Arabia that the state-funded broadcaster of Al Jazeera, y'all have heard of Al Jazeera. Have y'all ever watched Al Jazeera on your dish or your satellite? Just to see what it's like, you ought to be looking. I mean, you say, I'm not going to watch that. Well, you ought to be able to see what they're saying. And the Qatar is the one that funds Al Jazeera. So they are close with the Muslim Brotherhood. They're close with the Taliban. They're close with Al Qaeda. Also, they are accused of supporting the Houthi rebels who are destroying Yemen. You can see all of these on the map that we're looking at. We can see the different things that it's talking about here. And it says, Doha, which is the capital of Qatar, has strongly denied Saudi Arabia's accusations and said it has taken more robust counterterrorism measures than some of its neighbors. And then it goes on to say a few other things. In April, now it's going to get to what they think that what was being said. I cannot tell you for sure that what is being said is the real problem. But in April, Qatar reportedly paid a ransom of $1 billion to a former Al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria and to Iranian security officials as part of a deal that resulted in the release of 26 royal family members reportedly kidnapped by the Iranian-backed Iraqi Shia. Now then remember, there's the Shiites and there are the Sunnis. And Iranians are Shiites. And so the government, the small group of government that has Assad as its head in Syria are also Shiites, although the great number of people in Syria are Sunni. And y'all are going to say, what is the difference? Well, it all goes back to how they believe who is the rightful heir to Muhammad. But it says here that they paid $1 billion to this Al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria for 26 royal family members who were kidnapped by Iranian-backed Shia militiamen and dozens of Shia fighters captured by jihadists in Syria. Thus, it is Qatar's alleged continued funding of radical ideology and extremism that is seemingly the cause of the concern or the breakup between them and the other Gulf states. Since 9/11, the United States-led global effort to disrupt terrorism financing has been relentless. Domestic laws and United Nations Security Council resolutions have been passed. Entities, corporations, and individuals have been subject to national and UN sanctions, and suspected monetary conduits for terrorist funding, such as remittance companies and charities, have been shut down. But despite all this, the commitment of some key nations, including Qatar, have been repeatedly questioned. Now remember, we've got this huge air base and Qatar. 2 days ago, we sold them a bunch of our very best airplanes. Now then, terrorists aren't using those yet, in case you're wondering. And I'm not sure that terrorists could use those. All of those planes, if we decide, have a kill switch in them. You do realize that, don't you? When we sell military, there is a kill switch that makes the plane impossible to use. And basically, once we suspect that it's been used illegally or wrongly, we can just go click and we can turn it off. So, but anyway, 2 days ago, we sold them a lot of planes. Not a lot, but many more that they asked for. 1 day ago, our ambassador to Qatar resigned because she's so critical of how our president is handling things in Washington and in the Middle East. She said, "I cannot serve under this man anymore." Wow. Do you think maybe that's another example of gridlock in the United States? God help us. God help us, because the power of the lie is more powerful in the United States than an atomic bomb right now. And if someone were to use an atomic bomb against us for about 12 to 14 months, we would be so determined. And then we would all settle back and say, "Oh, what's the latest lie?" And we would be in gridlock again. God help us. Okay, let's see here. In 2014, then U.S. Treasury Undersecretary of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, David Cohen, noted, "Qatar, a longtime U.S. ally, has for many years openly financed Hamas." On the picture, can you find Gaza Strip? Out here. Hamas controls totally all of the Gaza Strip. And Qatar has been financing the people, the terrorists of Hamas, a group that continues to undermine regional stability. Press reports indicate that the Qatari government is also supporting extremist groups operating in Syria. Let's see. He also drew attention to the permissive environment in Qatar that allows fundraisers to solicit donations for extremist groups such as Al-Qaeda and the so-called ISIS, the Islamic State. So right now, Saudi Arabia is saying the reason we've cut off the borders, the reason we're not allowing them to have anything, the other nations are in that area are saying it. I want you to know that Iran and other nations are helping Qatar, but you're aware of Qatar and you're wondering what is going on. Now then, let's get to the last 10 minutes of our message today as you're considering this ring around Israel, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. These are the oil-rich nations, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Bahrain, and little Qatar, oil-rich nations. And let's look at Psalms 2, starting with verse 1. "Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain, empty, or lying thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh.'" the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The day is coming when God is getting ready to speak to those nations that have arrayed them against Israel and its allies. And I need to stop and tell you something. And our president came into office just back in January. For some people, it seems as though he's been there for an eternity. And most of us are so tired of listening to the tweets that he gives out. And I'm telling you, I'm tired of hearing all that stuff. Of course, it's the only way he can get out his message past the lies that are being told. And he's a very abrasive person. It's difficult to listen to him. I don't know if he's as abrasive as President Truman was. Do you remember him? They called him what kind of Baptist did they call him? Because they called him some kind of a Baptist. Cussing Baptist, wasn't it? Yeah, he was a cussing Baptist. All right, so here we are back here. But he said, I am going to find a way so that the peace deal can be consummated in the Middle East. The main problem with a peace deal being consummated in the Middle East is that the PLO, which controls the West Bank, and you can find the West Bank down here, and Hamas, who controls the Gaza Strip, and you can find the Gaza Strip down here, those two groups have never said that Israel has a right to exist. And because people like Qatar and others and Iran is supporting Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria, and Qatar is supporting Hamas down below here, and the PLO are receiving help from all of them. And because people have been, they've been supported by these groups who rage against Israel and rage against the God of Israel, their peace has never been a viable possibility. When the president began to speak about being able to bring a peace initiative, Saudi Arabia, I'm going to hold up my map one more time, this last time I'll hold it up, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Bahrain, and Kuwait quietly began to send messages to Washington that they were willing to help push the so-called Palestinians to a peace agreement. And in April and May, the Saudi Arabians even became more forthcoming, besides quietly doing it, beginning to softly, with a little voice in public, saying, we would be willing to help Israel. And Benjamin Netanyahu has been in conversations with nations that at one time were considered to be his enemies. The circle. Do you see the circle around all of them? And so this latest thing may be an attempt to bring Qatar into line, saying, yeah, you've got too much money and you don't know what to do with it. Stop sending it to the people that are keeping a possibility for some kind of stability in the Middle East. I don't know if I've made much sense this evening, but I hope that you have understood a little bit. Because I'll tell you, I only understand a little bit. You know, people used to brag on me. I don't know why they did it. I guess it's because Brother Matthew said that I helped him to understand things. I don't know that I ever did, but they'd say, Phil Thompson, you're the smartest man I've ever known. Some of y'all been around long enough. Y'all know that there's not, I have a kind of the brain of an ant. But I do understand a few things, and then there's a lot of things I don't understand. So let's finish Psalms 2, and then we'll be finished for the evening, and it's not going to take very long. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, Zion is not the highest place in Jerusalem. It is a hilltop, but it's going to be where the government is located in Jerusalem soon in the future. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, you are my son, this day have I begotten thee. Do you know what day it's talking about here? It's not talking about whenever it said, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. It's talking about that third day after the crucifixion, when Jesus came forth totally in the power of the living Spirit that makes us all alive again. And it's because of that day, him being begotten, that we all can be begotten as sons and daughters of God. The question is, have we allowed that Spirit to come into us? Have we allowed Jesus to call us into a new relationship with God? This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, God says, and I shall give you the nations. Who's he talking to here? Well, he's talking to Jesus. I shall give you the nations for your inheritance. Guess what? Jesus is going to come and call us into the clouds. I can't tell you how soon that is, but I'm excited. Do y'all remember Farrell Garner? In these very places, in these very pews, he sat in here and he said, I'm going to be in the rapture. Well, he is. He just hoped it would be on this side going up. He's going to be on the other side coming back. And not him, but every believer from Adam to him will be coming back in the clouds, and we will meet them in the clouds. Woo! What a day that's going to be. And so it says here, I will give thee the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. And finally, the lie will be broken and the truth will go forth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now I want you to know something. Whenever a potter's vessel is broken, the pieces can be retaken and used again. They have to be ground down. Or if the person mending it puts it back together is an artist. How many of y'all have ever seen Chinese art pieces that have been broken and they've been put back together with gold in between the pieces because that particular object was so precious? Well, when our God takes all of the broken pieces and puts it back together, it's better than it was the first time around. And so we see here that if Jesus has to break anything, it's not to destroy it like the leaders of this world do. It's to make it better. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, O you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Let's sing, I Will Serve Thee, in a few seconds. 256 in that little blue small book. And rejoice with trembling. And I like the last verse. Kiss the Son. Woo! How is it that David knew that his descendant was going to be the King of Kings? Well, it was the Spirit of God letting him know. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. Do you remember what they called Christianity at the beginning? They called it the way. Lest you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed, woo, are all that put their trust in him. Now then, I would love to be able to say I'm speaking for America tonight. But I'm speaking for my part. And if we'll all speak for our part, and if others will begin to join with us, then America has great possibilities. So call everybody you know and say, let us call everyone together and bless the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and kiss the Son. Let's all stand and sing, I Will Serve Thee.